All right, Elliott Shore Parks on the scene last night when the Eagles took care of business. It was an entertaining game. And you know, the offense did a lot of good things. Defense, not quite as much. Elliott right now. Good morning, Elliott.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, my man. So, Elliott, there's a lot of ways we can go, but let me just ask you the question we started the show with to everyone. Number one thing that jumped out to you last night. Because it's a little, to me, tough. Do you say Tanner McKee is, you know, going to be the backup? Or do you say defensive players who didn't play as well? Which one hits you more?
Yeah, I might go with something a little different. And to your point, I think there's a lot that could really stand out. I thought the backup receivers all really, really shined. And that was a big concern of mine watching this team in the first 10 days of training camp. Johnny Wilson made those 50-50 catches he hasn't been making in camp. Anaya Smith might have won himself a roster spot with that punt return. They feel confident with him back there, and they don't have to put Cooper back there.
Yeah.
That definitely helps his chances. And then, obviously, Darius Cooper with his big game. So, yeah, the defensive guys struggling for sure. Tanner was awesome. But the backup receiver spots are pretty important, and I thought that they all played really well last night.
Yeah, they did. How good is Tanner McKee, Elliott? I said earlier, I think he's probably a top 20 quarterback in football. James went, you know, a little further, to 20 to 25. How good is he?
Yeah, if I was another team, I would legitimately trade a first-round pick to get him. And we all see on the field how good he is, just how accurate he is. I love that he gives his receivers chances to make plays with the football. He throws up those 50-50 passes that a lot of quarterbacks aren't willing to throw up. But from being around him from 2 years, he truly is almost the reincarnation of Nick Foles. Like, he really has that Nick Foles personality about him where the guys in the locker room absolutely love him. I asked him last night about his Madden score and how he was a 61, and he said guys in the locker room have been joking around calling him 61. Last year, they had another nickname for him. Like, he is a good locker room guy, and that's critically important when it comes to being a great quarterback. So, yeah, I think Tanner McKee is absolutely the real deal.
Yeah, and his relationship with Jalen Hurts is a big reason why I don't think it makes any sense at all to even consider getting rid of this guy. He's the confidant of Jalen, isn't he? Like, talking about, hey, what'd you see on this play? What'd you see on that play?
Yeah, no, I think they have a great quarterback room dynamic, no question about it. And I think that's been the case since last year. I mean, he was on the players' lounge with me last year, and the way he talks about that quarterback room, how he helps Jalen, I think it's definitely a positive. I would say, though, and while I am not itching to trade Tanner McKee at all, trust me, I do wonder if we're going a little bit far with, like, the absolutely wouldn't trade him for a second-round pick. Like, this is when you cash in on a guy like Tanner McKee. So, I mean, it's great for
but we also want an amazing backup, and he is a huge part of that offense.
Yeah, but, Elliott, I'll add this, though. Part of why I don't trade him for a two is because I got him under contract for this year and next year. If it was only one more year to go, to me, he'd be less valuable to the Eagles. He's got value. He's a cheap backup. He can get in there. I got a Super Bowl-ready roster. Hopefully I do next year as well. I would not trade him for a second round.
There has to be a tax if you're trading him now. You trade him in the offseason when you can get another backup quarterback in and prepare for it. You
know,
if you're going to trade him right now, you have to have a tax for it.
I agree.
Yeah, you also have to trade him when his value is at his highest. Like we can all act like, you know, if he plays 5-6 games this year that he'll be great, and he might be, right? He's passed every test so far. But we have no idea how he'll play over a long stretch. And you say it's a cost-controlled backup, and that's true. It is. And again, the fact we've been talking about a second-round pick speaks to his extreme value right now. But that second-round pick could end up being a legitimate starter on cost-controlled deal for 3 years. So, yeah, I think if a team offered a second, I think that it's something they'd have to strongly think
about. Yeah, I don't think they would, but I hear you. All right, defense. Look, we all know Kelee Ringo struggled dramatically. Let me just ask you this question. Who is going to be the starting cornerback opposite of Quinyon Mitchell?
I think if they played a game this weekend, they would have Jacorian Bennett in the film room up until kickoff trying to teach him the defense so that he would start.
Is that the holdup, Elliott, that he just has no idea the way that this defense works? What's taking so long getting him on the field with these guys?
It's been like 2 days.
Yeah, they just traded for him like a couple days ago.
He hasn't even practiced yet.
I know.
I don't know
why
it's taking so long.
Well, he's got to move. 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
He flew on a red eye.
He's got to fly across the country. He's got to take his physicals, all that, you know?
John. Yes, yeah. I'm aware. I know how. I'm aware. I've been through this. I know how it works. Yeah. You can get there the next day, and then you start practicing.
So, but Elliott, obviously, I think it's fair they want him to get that job. Do we know that he's good enough? Elliot, let me frame it a different way. He may be good enough to be the best of the bunch. Is he good enough to be an average NFL starting quarterback?
If he plays like he has so far in his career in a limited sample size, then he is good enough. The numbers with him in Las Vegas are good enough to be an above average corner for sure. But it's, again, kind of to get to the Tanner thing, like it's easier to be great in flashes than it is to do it week after week when people have film of you, they know how they want to attack you, and you have to go out there every snap. So, I mean, he's a question mark at this point. Now, he, again, does have upside, and he's played well. But, no, they might have an issue at that number two cornerback spot for sure. I mean, Quinion might get five targets all year at this rate. I mean, because right, I don't know why you would ever – why you would ever throw the ball his way when that second cornerback spot's such a question. So after watching last night, I think there's three positions they have to consider making a move for. They have to consider making a move for a corner, a safety, and I think an edge as well. I wasn't super impressed with the edges last night either.
What were the bright spots defensively?
The bright spots defensively, I thought the defensive tackles played well. Ty Robinson had a sack. He had another nice pressure. And then Gabe Hall early on in the game, he's a guy that stands out. 6'6", the second he steps on the field, you recognize he's out there. He had a nice pass rush early on. And as concerning as the edges are, I do think the tackles can be a real strength of this team. And that's a big deal, because if they get good linebacker play and they have Cooper at safety and base, you look at the middle of that defense, and that's a really strong middle. So I thought the defensive tackles were good.
Ellie, what'd you make of Jahad Campbell last night?
I thought it was interesting he didn't start. I know they rotated, you know, guys in and out, but to have Smile Mondon Jr. out there to begin the game over Campbell, I thought was interesting. Obviously, he almost came down with that interception. Probably a play he should make. But
Yeah,
absolutely. No, I mean, it's not a super easy play, but I agree it's something he should come down with. Talking to him afterwards, you could tell he was pretty hard on himself about dropping that interception. So I didn't think much stood out from him on the field, but just the fact he didn't start I thought was a little interesting.
Yeah. Mondon struggled, it looked like.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, I do think, you know, for being a mid-round pick, I thought just the fact he did start over Campbell was a sign of how good they feel about him. But I agree, he didn't do a ton with his opportunity.
He looked, I don't know, smaller and less stout than I would have liked. Smile Mondon, having seen him at camp, he does fly around. He looks really good sideline to sideline, but can he hold up? That's a big concern now, having seen him in a game situation. I just can't get around how small he feels now. Not just looks, but feels as a player. On the offensive side of the ball, Elliot, the backs, running back-wise, A.J. Dillon and Will Shipley, who had a better game?
I thought Will Shipley had definitely had a better game. I'm going to put my 53-man roster together this morning, and I don't know if A.J. Dillon will be on it.
I thought he was pretty good.
I think he'll be in the building, and I think he'll probably be on the practice squad to start the season. But if you look at other guys that had big games last night, Darius Cooper, Anaya Smith, like these are guys that if they cut, they're going to have to go through waivers. A.J. Dillon doesn't go through waivers. So they can cut him, put him on the practice squad, promote him for a few weeks and figure it out. He doesn't look like he has a great burst to me out of the backfield. I think Will Shipley is considerably faster. Right, no, I agree, yeah. But Will Shipley, I think, is considerably faster. So I thought Will Shipley on that run last night really showed his upside.
Can you just explain real quick, Ellie, why can't another team claim him if he gets cut by the Eagles, A.J. Dillon?
Because if you're in the league a certain amount of time, you're a vested veteran, and you don't end up going through the waiver system. So I think it's 4 years, but if you've been in the league over 4 years and you're cut.
3 years and two games.
But can't someone take him off the Eagles practice squad if they want? I thought that was part of how it worked.
But it's not. He would have to agree to go. You can't just pluck him and take him. He would have to agree to go. So
did you say pluck?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure, because there was a lot of UCK. Buddy, and buddy. I heard UCK, and I wanted to make sure we started with a PL.
Okay. It definitely was a PL.
Quite a different way to persuade him. But I think that I think what the Eagles would do is they would pay him enough where he would be okay sitting on the practice squad for a few weeks.
Okay.
Darius Cooper looks outstanding from what I saw. Did he do enough to catapult himself up that up up the depth chart, there are a lot of wide receivers out there. We know that Johnny Wilson did a really nice job. We know that Anaya Smith did a really nice job, and it feels like those are young guys who they want to keep. But Darius Cooper is so far down on that depth chart. Did he do enough to sort of catapult his way up into the consciousness to where he can possibly make this team, Elliot?
Yeah, I think he did do enough last night. The only issue is a lot of other guys did enough too, right? Johnny Wilson played well, and Anaya Smith with the special teams return. But Darius Cooper has been outstanding all of training camp. He catches everything thrown his way. He's not someone that has, I don't think, a special physical, like elite physical skill.
But he's large.
He does everything well. He's strong. He has a bit of a Debo build, yes. I would say. So we'll see. Talking to him last night, I'll say this. Like, he is someone fans will fall in love with. I've been at a ton of press conferences after games with these guys. He starts his press conference off last night saying, "Hi, I'm Darius Cooper. I graduated from Tarleton State. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm blessed to be here." So he does have a charming quality about him. So, yeah, he did a lot last night to help his stock for sure.
That's cool.
Awesome.
I like that. All right, Elliot, final thing. We got to make a decision here because the me and Jack running's coming up. And we need to figure out how long the run should be. I want to play some audio of the afternoon show from yesterday discussing this. And then we'll get your reaction. Here's what the guys in the afternoon show said.
Josh just put a lot of pressure on himself to win the race and then win basketball.
You can handle it.
I think you should get out for a little bit of running. Just a little bit of running. Get your cardio
Once you
up.
Figure out what the exact running is.
Well,
God forbid.
Imagine we would figure it out.
Is it a lap around? Is it a sprint? Is it whatever?
I think it should be a quarter mile. It should be one lap around of track.
Either one's fine.
Yeah.
I just would like to know what it is.
Sure. Yeah. I think the longer it is, the more of a chance... The safer it is for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know,
I just want to get it over with.
Yeah,
as fast as possible.
I'm hearing you. I hear you.
Boy, that last line is weird.
Look, they sound like they like the quarter mile idea. Like, yeah. Spike is proposing that's his.
Well,
favorite
I think he
idea.
Thinks that's hardest for me.
But I think you have a great chance of winning that. From what I've seen, Jack is a quitter.
Yeah, I don't know,
Jack.
Don't
when he gets to that right final angle. Stretch. You're close to him?
So, Elliot, what do you think? There's the 100 meter, which is the traditional sprint, you know, Olympics, Carl Lewis, that whole thing. 200, Michael Johnson. 400, one lap around the track. Which should it be?
Yeah, I think it should absolutely be one time around the track. I think it's a very clear answer. It's the best combination of speed. I don't want to call once around the track endurance, but it has more of one than 100 than 100 meter thing. So yeah. I think one time around the track, and honestly for you, that's what I would vote, because I think the only way you win is if he trips or something like that, and the longer he runs, the more likely it is he falls. So
he's got
I
a great chance of being out of gas in that final 100.
So, and Jack,
all that lactic acid in his legs. He could trip.
Well, and Jack can run for distance, but you can't. So it's not a full-out sprint if you do the 400 meter, the one lap. I think it can test, I don't think that the endurance of running however long Jack runs, 3, 4, 10 miles, really translates to a 400 meter, if that makes sense. So no. I do think it gives you an equal chance.
One thing I'm going to have to learn if we do that is
aerobic and anaerobic.
What percentage do I run at? Meaning, you know, if 100 meters.
90%.
That's what I figured, about 90% the whole time. Yeah.
And then 100 at the end.
Till the end, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing I want to play for you, Elliot. James, this is number 30, if we can, please. Because, you know, Elliot, I know your buddies with France, but there's also the question of, is this the guy to believe in? Like, listen to something that happened on their show on Wednesday. This was after tennis.
Let me explain half-ass Jack here. So half-ass Jack Ike practices two times, both with Goose, whoever the hell Goose is. Might even not.
2012, chess player.
Like this is Top Gun or something. Your friend Goose.
Yeah.
I don't think the Goose exists.
Yeah, does he really exist?
Yeah. Then the other thing is the match is at 11:30 today at FDR Park. So I get there at about 10:50, right?
Mm-hmm.
10:50, and I see you walking up right around 10:58, I think it was.
Yep.
11 o'clock, no Jack. 11:05, no Jack. 11:10, no Jack. 11:15, no Jack. Jack waddles up at 11:18, smiling, not a care in the world, while the camera had been there for 35, 40 minutes warming up.
Is that the guy to believe in, Elliot? Put another way, is he still the favorite?
So I think he's still the favorite just because I do think the two events really favor him. But, yeah, I was there earlier than Jack was. I would have been there an hour early like you were warming up. So
I got a good warm-up in. Like, I was wondering if I was going too hard, honestly.
And you dominated him, so it was
correct.
A good workout.
I would have dominated him. I could have rolled out a freaking bed and dominated him, but yeah, correct.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, I mean, look, Jack's got to take the last two events more seriously, no question about it.
All right, Elliot, good man. Good job last night, and we'll be talking to you. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
All right, Elliot Shore Park. So a lot of reaction, obviously, from last night. What stood out to you the most? I think Tanner McKee. James, how good do you think he is?
He's really good, man. Like we said before, like if you want to say top 20, I'm fine with that. I said 20 to 25. I think he's somewhere in that general range. Maybe he's 21. I don't know. He is one of the 32 best starting quarterbacks in my mind, without a doubt. Like, this guy should be starting for a team in the NFL. I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. And it's a great luxury to have. And I don't think they're going to trade him this year. And James, to your point, you'd have to have someone else that can fill that void. And they probably don't have that guy. So, you know, with a championship-ready roster, would I trade a quarterback in a league where the starting quarterback can get hurt quite often? Hasn't happened in a monumental way around here. What's the last time big injury to a starting quarterback?
Well, oh, Carson. Yeah.
Carson, yeah.
But to you, the point, it hasn't been big, but Jalen has missed games every single year he's been a starter. Every single year.
And that can be the difference for home field advantage or not.
It has been.
It has been. Yeah, one, two, or three games can make the difference in whether you have home field advantage. Let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken.
So, listen, I think we might be getting a little over our skis here on Tanner McKee.
Maybe. Maybe not.
And on Keeley Ringo. Now, I will say this. I told Elliot on Go Birds, like, over the summer that I would hold out for a first-round pick for Tanner McKee, not because he's that good, but because there's no need to trade him, so you might as well just put the price so high that, you know, if somebody's desperate enough to come in because they need a starter, then sure, we'll take your first-round pick. But, you know, the Eagles did win a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback a few years ago, if my memory serves me correctly. So.
Yeah.
And, listen, there's no install on defense, on the game plan, on the, especially the first preseason game, but any preseason game. And, you know, the fact that Keeley Ringo is out there basically on an island, and it almost feels like Vic Fangio kind of left him out there on an island against Chase.
You think to test him?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's like, well, okay, let's see what you're made of, man. So sure. I'm not saying the guy's going to be Deion Sanders once we get into the actual defense, but I'm not watching that last night saying, oh my God, there's no chance we're going to win the Super Bowl because we've got Keeley Ringo.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll give you my reaction, Ken. My reaction was they might have a problem at cornerback, and that can sap a defense. It doesn't mean they go from 1 to 19, but it could hurt.
You get a little spoiled having two shutdown corners.
Of course you do.
Don't have two shutdown corners, and most NFL teams work around it. I mean, what Elliot just said, I'd be surprised.
Well, especially when they could have brought Slay back. Like, look, I love Howie Roseman like everybody. And Ross Tucker said something really interesting last night. Maybe it's, you know, he's not just the best in the NFL. Maybe he's the best in all sports. Maybe, as a GM. But he's not infallible. He's made mistakes before. Some of them have been whoppers. He'll make whoppers and mistakes moving forward. That's the way it goes when you make that many decisions. You know, he may have messed up turning his back on Darius Slay. I mean, we know Darius Slay is old, and we also know he's going to decline and already has a bit. But we know last year Darius Slay was still clearly above average, like clearly.
Well, and first of all, when they spent their first two picks in the draft last year on corners, you knew Darius Slay wasn't going to be back this year.
I know, but doesn't it feel like Cooper DeJean's future, if he's going to be a starter at regular safety or regular outside corner, is more regular safety? Because it does to me.
It does, but it's also, I think, it's instructive to recognize that part of the reason Slay had a much better year last year than he did the year before last, and part of that is because you got Quinyon Mitchell on the other side. So, you know,
that's a good point.
Quinyon Mitchell on one side, you know, you can roll coverages and do those other things that to help out the other side when you've got a guy like Quinyon who can shut down the other team's number one receiver by himself.
Also, just to defend Howie a little bit, too, I mean, the cap is the cap. You know, some of these things he has to make. Darius Slay got $10 million for this season, you know? So sometimes you just have to – I bet he would love to have Darius Slay back, but it just – he can't work, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And, James, one of the things I was thinking last night while watching the game is, well, who would I rather have off the roster to have Slay on it?
Exactly.
And that's a tough – I mean, really, it could be like him or Goddard maybe.
$10 million each. They actually right? line up money-wise. And I'd rather have Goddard of the two, personally.
That's a toughie. I mean, that's a tough one. Devin, what do you think? Goddard or Slay? If you had to pick one.
That is really tough.
Goddard.
That is really tough. So, like, right now I'm tempted to say Slay just because of I'm concerned about the cornerback situation.
John, what do you think? Goddard or Slay if you had to pick one of them?
Seriously?
Yeah. It's a legitimate question.
I think
question.
It's, like, clearly Goddard.
Oh, I don't gosh. Think
Dallas
it's clear.
Goddard is an unbelievable weapon. We have so many cornerbacks that
but they might not be
added
good.
Added Ja'Quarian Bennett, Mac McWilliams. They like him as a nickel. We don't know how he'll look on the outside.
Yeah,
you've got a lot of guys who are nifty. Perry Nickerson. You got guys who can do the nickel stuff. If they can do the nickel stuff, they can probably do the outside stuff too. They're just young.
Well, why youth. Isn't Cooper DeJean the starting outside corner then?
Because they're seeing what else they can. They're seeing how the pieces fit before they finalize
maybe.
His role for this season
maybe.
Because he can do so much.
All right, Ken, give me an
they
answer.
They are not worried.
Yeah.
I don't think
I think they are worried. Ken, give me
they're
I think
addressing
that's
addressing the
well,
problem.
Well, they're trying to, but
moving
we'll,
forward.
We'll see
with
if the
it.
New dude can play yes. good enough. Ken, give me a coming of age character.
Well, the last thing I'll say about last night is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is always in the right place. I've started to notice that.
He is. He's so smart. He is so smart as a linebacker.
His dad was schooling him so early. I mean, me and, you know, Axeman Trot, we used to talk about it 10 years ago. He was schooling him so early in life, and I think you see those instincts born out of training.
Lifelong
training.
You see the lack of false steps, the lack of, you know, stepping under himself. He gets to where he needs to go.
Yeah, it's impressive.
He's efficient.
Ken,
he's
give me a coming-of-age character.
Yeah, my coming-of-age character, unfortunately, high school kids are probably going to have to seek this book out to read it as things stand now. Scout Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
sure.
Man. Interesting
Great
answer. For sure. 215-592-9494. Speaking of coming-of-age, I'm trying to help Fritz out here. I mean, I know I rag on him from time to time, but I'm trying to help
him
out.
Time to time.
From time to time. My five goals versus Fritz. Let's revisit. So goal number one is to win the overall competition. James, yesterday for the first time you said you think I will.
Right? The first time in this, so you've asked me so many times, I think you are the favorite now. I think you will win this competition.
Okay, appreciate that. Goal number two is for John to root for me. I feel like we're getting closer, not
yeah, I feel like we're moving
to me,
in that
but,
direction.
But
yeah.
Discuss to Fritz, which I got to tell you, isn't exactly my favorite way to get John's support. Well, right? I mean, like, how about
yeah, it's kind of an icky way to get there.
It's an icky way to get there.
It is really surprising. I mean,
you got to be pretty disgusted with
up.
Him, right, John?
I don't know if it's disgusted.
Well, what is
I'm
it?
Just I never expected. I never expected it. I never expected him to approach it this way. And I don't know. I doubt him so much more than I want to. I doubt him so much more than
well, you
I
want
to,
but you're still
to.
Rooting for him. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not rooting
yeah, you were.
For him.
Yeah, you know you were rooting
I
for him.
I am
you were.
Expecting him to I was expecting him to win this 5-0.
Well, that,
and
yeah,
then
that's
straight out
sailed.
The gates.
All right,
we
so,
saw that was nowhere close to what
no.
was going to happen.
So goal 3 has already been accomplished. Goal 3 was to get Jack to release the golf video. So that one has been accomplished. I put this together about a month ago. Goal 4 was after I win overall, John admits that I'm a better athlete than Jack, which I think John will admit if I win.
I agree.
And goal 5, and this is the thing I think Jack will not do, but it's a goal, after I win that Jack admits that I'm a better athlete than he is.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I agree with you.
Which would be a damn shame.
It would be.
Oh, wonderful to be with you on this Friday morning from Borgata. Our home base every Friday. Rhea's out today, but you got the rest of us. Joe, John, James, and Devin. Afternoon show's been saying an awful lot about the tennis thing and looking ahead to running. Of course, the Eagles won the game last night, and it was an entertaining game. You don't often get an entertaining preseason game, certainly in this day and age. But that was good stuff last night. I thought it was a fun game. Obviously, Tanner McKee really shined. Jack did not shine in tennis, and now running is next. Let's play some audio because I can tell Spike is starting to get increasingly concerned. But he also is still a skeptic on something related to me, which is, I'll admit, irritating. But it's okay. Here's the afternoon show and some of what they said this week.
I will concede, no matter how long the run is, because we haven't determined how long the run is, whether it's 100 yards or 50 yards, or I think it should be a lap. I think it should be one lap around a track, which is a quarter mile. That's what I believe it should be.
Yeah.
I don't think Jack can lose that unless he gets hurt.
Right.
But basketball, you can lose.
Yeah.
That's what I learned today. Basketball, you can lose.
That's on the table. Because, again, I also want this to be exposed. I want a deep dive into the situation. Because I do believe he is aura farming this injury and trying to create something that is not real.
I think the injury's fake.
Like, he was moving fine today.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you can't rely on the fact that he's injured.
Yes.
Yes. Like, another thing we learned today.
Yeah, you got to treat him as if he's healthy.
See, here's what...
You got to treat him as if he's healthy. Forget about him being injured. Okay.
What is he talking about? The aura farming?
Well, like, that whole thing. It's
blaming it aura farming for him losing?
Yeah, he continues to misuse
what
that
What does this
phrase.
Mean?
I don't know. But
what's he talking about?
I don't
about?
Know. But the basic thing is they just don't believe I got an injection and have an injury and had an MRI. And okay. Listen, they're entitled to their opinion, but it's nonsense.
According to Google.
I don't know that
Google,
it sounded like they said that.
No, they've been saying that for the last 2-3 weeks.
Aura farming is the act of strategically cultivating one's image and online presence to project a certain aura, often with the goal of appearing effortlessly cool or stylish.
Oh, okay, so he's saying, what he's saying is, like, when people said Shilly might have faked the bloody incident with the foot, that it was ketchup. I never said that, but some people said that. I think what he's saying is, if you were to do that, to try to get credit for being heroic to fight through it. It sounds to me like the right way to frame it.
Well, it sounds
if that were true.
It sounds like
not
he's
true,
saying that you are incredibly cool. Like
be cool if I won and overcame the injuries.
Sounds like he thinks
he's saying
that
he made up the injury.
He said I made up the injury
cool.
To appear more cool. Yeah, that's what he said.
Whether he did or not? Like,
if I did, that would be kind of not cool. But the bottom line is,
you're
did not
beating
make up
him
the
regardless.
Well, that's
you're
the thing.
Winning
yeah.
in
yeah.
this contest.
Well, James, it goes to the fact. I just think I'm in his head. The fact that he's all this nonsense. All
yeah,
this,
he should be worried about the fact that you whooped his ass in tennis. He shouldn't be worried about whether you're injured or not. Like,
who cares?
It doesn't change anything.
Exactly. Or not.
It doesn't change anything. Like, all that matters is the actual competition.
Yeah. Yes. Devin, I love that you said people at the Eagles last night, everyone was asking you about this. That is
multiple people.
Makes me very
they're invested.
What else?
I had someone working on I don't even know what these people, so there's so many things and people that go into games. It's like the orange, I don't know, he does something with the first down chains, but he came up to me and asked specifically if he could officiate basketball. He told me, emailed Ava Graham. So Ava, if you got an email from someone, I mean, he works in the NFL officiating, so he's legit, and he really wants to officiate the basketball
match. Well, it's okay. I mean,
people are so invested.
Yeah. With basketball.
By the way, James, I thought I was a good WIP employee by not opening up an investigation yesterday into what WIP employee signed off on those three guys being our line judges. Because I know this, if I was Jack Welsh running GE in the 1990s, someone would have gotten fired for that.
Yeah, that was
weren't the best.
Someone dropped the ball there. That's for sure.
I don't know who it is. I'm not advocating for anyone to get fired. I'm really just joking around. But holy hell, who the heck made that decision? All right, by the way, speaking of the station, two things I want to tell you that are pretty cool. Congratulations to our leader at WIP, the market manager. Market manager means oversees not just WIP, but the other radio stations in the market, which include, of course, you know, KYW, 1060, and others. David Yagaroff is a finalist for a Marconi Award. This is a big thing. Marconi Award finalist for Legendary Radio Manager of the Year. So we love David. He's a wonderful boss, a great person, and a great leader, and we want to congratulate David on this recognition of getting to this point. Now, let's hope he's not Susan Lucci and he loses, you know, 37 times before he wins. Let's hope he wins this year. So, David, if you're listening, congratulations. It's well-deserved to get to this point, and we hope you win this whole overall thing. And then the station was also named yesterday as a finalist for the Marconi Award for Sports station of the year, which I don't know if the station has ever won it. But I know this, in the words of LeBron James after he won his first championship. James, what did he say?
It's about damn time.
It's about damn time. So anyway, congrats to everyone at WIP. I mean, it's look, we love being here, and look, none of this would be anything if you weren't listening to the shows and entertained by it all. So we appreciate, really, I don't want to make this about us. I appreciate you. We appreciate you being a part of all this. And, yeah, let's hope the station wins the sports radio station of the year. All right, let's go to the phones. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. You know, if I squinted my eyes really hard, kind of like Daryl Morey, I thought I saw Andre Agassi the other day getting after
Only
it.
At the very end when I pulled it out. Ed, I could have done that the whole frickin' time, man. I really could have. I typically pull it out
when it could benefit me.
James, you got to admit, James, it did change the narrative that I pulled that out at the very end.
It was an exclamation point.
If for those that don't know what we're talking about, I aced Jack on the final point, and I knew I could have pulled that out much earlier and often, but I just went with a really conservative approach because I knew he would make mistakes, which he did.
Yeah, you don't go full Philippoussis on him until the final point. About this run, I think James can support me on this. Jack ran an 8-minute mile, so you need to ask yourself, Joe, can you run a 2-minute 400 meters? That's not nothing. So,
and maybe even short. Honestly, shorter.
Think about what he just said. Yeah, that's a horrible. You framed it the wrong way, Ed. What you're really trying to ask is, could I run a 2-minute final 400
if he
meter
wants to win,
if I did it many times?
You need to run like a 1-minute 400.
Yeah, I would be interested to know what my target number should be. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
maybe
know what that is.
I don't know. Yeah, it would be around
a minute. 400 meters is
one
4-minute mile. 15. So you're not doing that.
For an average person, the time could be anywhere from 70 to 90 seconds.
So 110 to 130. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Look, I hope I'm not 130, but okay. All right.
And real quick on the Eagles, it was disappointing to see Keely Ringo's performance yesterday, but how I'm not ready to write him off yet, I'm going to have to see Ja'Cory Bennett on the field before I'm ready to anoint him as the replacement.
I totally agree. Kind of playing
a fool's errand just by saying, and we don't exactly have the best reputation with ex-Raiders cornerbacks. You go back, 14 or so years? But anyway, they have some work to do there. I'd pay to be a fly on the wall to be in that position group meeting today to hear Keely get some good hard coaching, because he's going to have to make some adjustments if he wants this job.
Yeah, and Ed, one other thing I'd add. Listen, Howie's been on a heater, obviously, but there are many times where the corners have not been great under him. I mean, let's just be really candid. Okay, so Darius Slay, when he made that trade, he held it down for about 6 years or so.
The corners were mostly bad until recent years under Howie.
Correct. I mean, Chip had 1 year of personnel say, but if you go back to... So Maxwell would have been Chip.
But Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher would have been Howie.
For sure.
Nolan Carroll was Howie. There were a bunch of those guys in there.
Yes, a bunch of them. Exactly. And that's, so... All right, Ed, give me a coming-of-age character. You can win the Linkin Park tickets.
I think I have the winner right here. How about Benjamin Braddock and The Graduate?
Yeah, that's another really good one.
Dustin Hoffman's birthday today, too.
Now, is he a little too old for coming of age? I mean, because normally we think more of the teen variety. He is a grad from college.
Stunted.
He's 22.
I still think it's a coming of age story. Yeah, I do.
So what's the deal? He gets with the mom and then says, I want to be with the daughter, and then that's how he comes of age? I mean, I'm a huge fan of the movie.
It's an awakening. He realizes who he wants to be and who he's
So he doesn't want
to
be the guy that gets with the mom anymore? So let me ask you a question.
I think you're looking at just a little too literally.
Well, now that he gets with the daughter, is it really going to work when it's like, I don't know, holiday time, hanging out with the mom?
Probably that will be difficult.
Yeah, it was about to be the 70s. Things were different, Joe. It's 1969. Things are different.
It was. By the way, big fan of both of them, but bigger fan of the daughter. Let's
go to
that's
a surprise.
Yeah, but you got to remember, like with me born in 78,
yeah, the age you were when you saw it, I get
she's
it.
She's wheelhouse for, you know, yes.
I got you.
She was also the gal in, I'm pretty sure,
that down.
In the one with Paul Newman and Redford, the raindrops are falling on my head. No, the other one, the Butch Cassidy.
Oh, Butch Cassidy.
I think she's the gal in that one. All right, let's go to Matt and Ridley. He's a dirty
what
dog.
Gal.
He would know.
What gal?
Matthew, good morning.
You're garbage. You're absolute garbage.
What am I garbage for? What is this nonsense?
That was a garbage win. They were not garbage questions. What a garbage performance.
That was a garbage win.
To get thrown out of the game, Joe. Absolute garbage. What a horrible call.
It was still a win.
Listen,
it counts as a W.
There was a lot to process there.
You know when you didn't get a W the last time you played me? You got the big L, and I never heard my name. You just drowned it out.
Matt.
Drowned it out the whole time with your crying and whining. Don't talk about you winning anything.
291, Matt. So you got one, and I got 291.
Matt, do you only have one, or do you have more than one? Because it sounds like you could get...
I'm 1-2-1 against you. I have an overtime loss. So
that means you're 1-3. It isn't hockey. You don't get 1-2-1.
Only a
freaking loser. Only someone like Fritz would say, 1-2-1.
So Joe has bested you three times.
I took it overtime, and I lost, Joe. So call whatever you want.
Yeah, it's called 1-3.
Yeah, he won three times. You won one time.
Okay. Garbage, Joe. Garbage. That being said.
Yes, sir.
Tanner, good. I like the call. Keep calling me, sir, Joe. Absolutely.
No, it's because I'm a polite guy.
No, so in all seriousness, Tanner did look good. He's looked good against the competition that he has played against.
Yes.
But I'm not ready to make – I mean,
that competition is not great sometimes.
No. And he did play decent last year, but you got to remember this. He's playing that way on this team. That doesn't mean he's going to go to another team and play the same way because he's going to have a whole different mess of players.
That's true.
Point number two, when Moss went to Oakland, they thought his career was over because he played horrible, and then he came back to New England and restored his career because he
was what was the difference? But Matt, what was the difference? He didn't try very hard. No, but he also didn't try very hard. Enough.
Jamarcus Russell versus
that was
Tom
part
Brady.
Of it. But you could tell
I think that was.
But you could tell his.
Was there a difference between those two?
Yeah.
John, that's my point. Look who he had to play around, and then they thought his career was done. I'm just saying, you're not the same player on another team as you are on this team with this surrounding cast around him.
Very true.
The bottom line is
this young quarterback is excellent, and that's not going to change because his processing speed is fantastic.
Yeah, it looks good. Matt, John, you get all the other nonsense out of your system, though?
John, I believe he has the potential to be excellent in this league, but let's not be ready to call him the next.
Oh, he's got to do it against the top competition. He's done it against backups for the most part.
Right, and Elliot made a great point this morning. Let him play 10 or 12 games, and let's see how he really does. If he's the starting quarterback, he might not have the same consistent performance as he does a game.
Well, look, A.J. Philly got traded to Miami, and it didn't
go
very well.
Go.
And then there's, Brunell got traded from Green Bay and became a star before he tore his knee.
AJ looked more than serviceable in 2001 with McNabb and
you know what?
Down,
I will tell you this, though, Matt. I think looking back at it, we got a little carried away. Like, there was a game the Eagles won. I believe the score was 10-9. And Bobby Taylor had an interception return for a touchdown.
Dude,
and that
I remember
was the one
that game.
Right? You're and it's probably, like, AJ's won another. And it's like, well.
I remember that game so well. I remember where I watched it.
It was the Rams game, I believe, at the end of the season.
It was late in the year because he played the final six and he started the final five. Matt, give me an answer. Best coming of age character.
I got a shot in the dark. Andy from Pretty in Pink. But it's not going to win. But that's the only.
No, it's not going to win. It's not going to win. There's better answers from the '80s. Look, if you want to go '80s, you could have gone Daniel LaRusso.
Oh,
right.
Big.
Yeah, very big. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to go there, go there. All right, let's listen to more of the stuff from the afternoon show related to this competition. You know, I do think one of these days we do have to do the poll on who's now the favorite. Because before tennis, people told me that I would still not be the favorite, but maybe now I am. Anyway, Spike thinks he's seen a flaw in my game based on tennis that could impact the next two. Let's listen to something Spike said.
What I learned, because I'm looking, so Jack loses 6-1, but I believe it was in the fifth game that you could look over at the camera and he was gassed.
Yeah.
Like he was taking time in between points. You could see it slipping away. And all I, when it was 5-1, I looked at Elliot and I looked at James as well. And I said, if Jack had practiced a little more and this match had been 4-2 rather than 5-1.
He'd had a chance to come back.
You would have won. You would have, because he had nothing left. He was cooked. He was cooked. And by the way, you made a mistake chickening out last Wednesday because that guy would have turned to goo after two games in 100-degree weather.
I know. I know.
I love the I know, I know. Look, Spike's
if
point.
You know, then why aren't you winning?
I think
these
that
contests?
Was more of a I don't want to listen to this anymore. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, was I getting tired? Yeah, a little bit. Would it have made a difference if it was 4-2 instead of 5? Well, of course not. I mean, look at the final point. Freaking torch his ass. Don't give me that nonsense. By the way, him? Is this the guy to believe in? Let me play one more piece of audio. And, John, I want you to ask yourself, because you do have to, you have to make a decision at some point whether you think he or I will win the rest of the way. And I will just submit to you,
I'm questioning now whether he can even dig deep in this race. I thought it was a hands down, no question, he's going to dust you in this race.
Yeah.
Now I think it's possible he loses.
I think so, too. John, I'm going to ask you and the jury, everyone listening, let's play some audio. Is this the guy you want to believe in?
So here is, and Ike, I know you said you're not embarrassed by today, okay, but I think maybe this might make you embarrassed, is that I have a source that told me after Joe went up 4-0 or 4-1, Jack sat down during the 1 minute breaks and said, "I just want to go home."
Now, in my defense,
he was down 4-1.
In my defense, there was no need for that to go on the air.
Did it happen?
Golly.
I was defeated.
But he wasn't. It was only 4-1. So I just submit to everyone, Devin, have you turned to thinking I will win?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. You don't have to apologize.
I think it could be closer than we thought. I think it comes down to Jack's preparation.
It's already so much closer.
I hope that if he took anything away from tennis, it's that he needs to be more prepared. Like,
do you
come
think
into
Jack's
going to
do that, though, Devin?
Prepared.
You know Jack.
Well, yeah.
That's why Joe's going to win.
Mom and Dad on his show were yelling at him, telling him that he needs to be more prepared, especially for basketball.
Look at what Devin just did.
They yelled at him for every single competition.
But James, the biggest thing, you just missed it. Devin just stuck her foot, both feet in the mommy and daddy. That audio, you know, Scoops might be viewed differently on the afternoon show.
No. I know she does have her afternoon show wrapped up hold. That's a good point.
Well,
none of us have to worry about that. That's a Devin thing. So.
She just said something she may have to answer for with them.
It's a funny nickname for them.
So is Jack Be Nimble, Jack Be Quit.
Can I also say, kind of related, guess who texted me about something I said on the show?
All right, now let's give us some kind of hint.
You know them quite well, Joe.
I know them quite well. Mm-hmm. So two people?
No, I'm just not saying a gender right now.
I know them. Okay, I know this person quite well.
You know this person quite well.
Amy from Villanova.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard when you were walking away.
No,
I called your jog a mom jog.
Oh, boy.
And immediately thought it might be offensive to moms. And Amy from Villanova texts me and says, "I heard you compare Joe's run to a mom jog. That's so insulting to moms out there."
Wow.
"It's a dad bod jog, the jog you do when you want to keep your dad bod." Amy from Villanova.
So this is getting kind of like sexist both ways now. I mean, this is nonsense.
Either way, the technique and form needs some work.
No, there's no doubt. So Coach Cockenberg and I have been texting the last little bit here. We're going to talk after the show. Certainly going to talk prior to me hopping on the afternoon show 4:30 today when we decide on the running length. So we shall see. Let me play one more piece of audio related to all this, because after running is basketball, if it's even, you know, necessary. James, let's play number 41 here. John, that's how many of these pieces of audio we have.
How
we're up
nonsensical
to
this thing is.
If it's
yes.
even necessary. So you're planning on putting this thing away?
I'm just saying.
And you're saying he's going to quit and give up and not even continue?
Just saying you never know. But I will say this. I thought what he said about basketball the other day does not bode well for him.
I totally agree with you.
I see,
part of my calculation, that was part of the whole thing.
I was stunned.
Yeah.
Let's listen to what Jack B. Nimble, Jack B. Quit said.
Get a couple shots up a day. Go out there 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Get some shots
get
up.
Get your cardio up.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to bully him, you're going to need your cardio up.
Yeah, I'm not a post player, but I got you. There's a lot of Yeah, but
well, if you're not a post player, what advantage do you have over him?
Well, I could.
Quickness is certainly not it.
Yeah, you're not as quick. You say you're like a cat. Well, some cats are twice the weight they should be. Now, I'm not calling you fat. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, you would never.
I'm just saying that cats are not all quick. Right. Some of them are real slow.
Some of them are fat.
Yeah,
they are slow cats.
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't say which cat.
Yeah.
Cracks me up, man. Look, if he wants to stay out and shoot jump shots, cool. But I'll be ready either way. I was just surprised that, but I shouldn't be because there's a soft underbelly to his whole thing. Anytime you see big guy that doesn't play like big guy.
I expected basketball to look like he's going to take you to the hoop, drive to the bucket, post you up.
Back me down.
Yeah.
Well, apparently not.
You can win like that and just block your shot. I mean, defense, block your shots.
Devin, you sure you're still backing this guy?
Can I just be a Switzerland here?
I mean,
nah,
apparently
you gotta choose a side here.
I mean, just,
I just think Jack is going to win the running, and it'll come down to basketball.
I will ask one more time, Devin Caney. Who do you think will win the overall competition?
I think you certainly have a better shot at winning, at upsetting Jack now. It depends how much Jack actually
pick
prepares.
An answer.
Devin Caney,
I think Jack will win.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I think he's hurting more than he's letting on from tennis.
Oh, he's hurting a ton. He's hurting a ton. Hey, Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two of them, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's annual sizzling summer sales event is on now. Make sure you visit ArminChevy.com for details. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, what should the distance be for the running competition between me and Jack? 100 meters, 200 meters, or 400 meters? We'll find out what the poll result is coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll settle that today around 4:30 on the afternoon show. Second poll question, do you think Tanner McKee is a future NFL starting quarterback? I certainly think he is, and I've been telling you that for, I don't know, a good while now. All right, up ahead. Seltzer, you say it's a great drop of the week this
banger
week.
Banger drop of the week. Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff.